Mayor and Council, as you guys are well aware, and you heard through all the citizen comments, and you've all been hearing from your citizens on the street or by email or phone, that this is, of course, a hot button issue. And unfortunately, it's not a simple issue, as you all are very aware, that it's multifaceted and there's no easy solution. And there's no solution that's going to please all your constituents and all the citizens and all the visitors. There's just not. And so what we try to do is come up with some main points for discussion and a range of options for the council to consider and to look at some pros and cons of those options. And so we want to generate council discussion and come out of this, if possible, with the way forward for the staff to proceed. As far as timeline, we've got, this is not, as you all are aware, I'm new here, so I don't know, but I'm getting plenty of indications. This is not a normal summer in any way, shape, or form. And while normally we'd be slowing down a bit this time of year as we proceed toward the end of summer, there are indications are that the summer won't technically end, especially if school stays out and people don't go back to work. People are looking for an outlet, and that will be our park. So this is a solution that, that again, multifaceted. One facet will be, what can we do like as soon as possible to slow the crowds down and come up with a solution for parking, perhaps. Some of those we've already done, some signage, some barricades for parking, and there's other proposals that we'd like to run by you all to help relieve some of the issues for the rest of the summer and then work on a long-term solution, because some of these problems are going to be, have been, endemic to our parks and our town for a long time. So what we'd like to do is move forward with the discussion. Paul and his staff have worked really hard to try and figure some things out. The Sheriff's Department has helped us with some of this. We've been in contact with some other parks, and they're aware that we're working on some solutions, and they're waiting on us to tell them what you all have decided on. So we'll do that. Whatever you all decide this evening, we're going to start a comm plan, a communication plan, first thing in the morning, probably with the mayor on KOZI. He'll probably drag one of you guys into that, if possible, to talk about it with him. Probably be a good idea to help guide that discussion on COZI. And then we'll also execute our communication plan with our different media out there, anywhere from Wenatchee World to, like I said, KOZI, Lake Chelan Now, et cetera, and probably make contact with some of the media on the other side of the mountains. However, if we go with the nuclear option of closing our parks, that will probably make the news right away without us contacting anybody. So in any case, we'll get the word out as much as possible using our other sources, our Facebook page, our website, and those kind of things. So as we move forward then, some things we need to look at has been outlined by Paul, and he is ready to share some of those with you as far as some challenges. I know, just to upfront, some of the things our biggest challenge is personnel, getting more personnel on board. It's not impossible, but it's not very practical to try and hire folks off the street at this juncture, part-timers, full-timers, or whatever, and get them trained up and ready to deploy to execute some of the options that you all will probably discuss, such as park closure, park partial closure, park limitations. The other thing we have to consider is we don't want to put untrained personnel, don't want to put our park civilian personnel in the front lines of communication to confront angry patrons. And so one of the things that I've looked at yesterday and today at the mayor's suggestion is a private security firm. And so I looked at one that is used by the PUD, Phoenix, and I sent you all, because I just got the proposal today, I sent it out to you all, and they have a pretty good proposal. They're a solid company, been used pretty extensively in this part of the country. And so we have the option perhaps bringing them aboard at some cost, and we can discuss that as we go down the road with options. But that's one of the solutions for personnel. And so, Paul, I'd like for you to chime in at this point, maybe talk about, I talked to that email you sent me here about an hour ago, because it really went through some of the challenges and some of the options we can do. Maybe start first. You know, we got a range, as I said, but one end of the range is closing the parks completely. The other end of the range, of course, is doing nothing. And so we don't have that option of doing nothing. And so somewhere in between is the answer that we need to come up with, and you all need to help guide the staff to execute. So, Paul, if you would take it from there, perhaps starting with some of the challenges and some of the ideas that you proposed.
Are you all able to see this screen?
Yes.
Yeah. Great.
Can you make it larger, Paul? Your photo is small on the, yeah.
I can make the photo larger. Is that
there
help?
We go. Yep.
Okay. Great. So this was what I've done is kind of broken things down into physical measures, human measures, resources, human resources, and then communications for some of the options that we've discussed. One option that Aaron had was to use these circles like they're doing in New York, Dusseldorf, other areas around the world. If nothing else, it would be fun to do a trial patch in some of the areas in Don Morris, in some of the lawn areas close to the sidewalk, just to see how well they would work. That's something that could be implemented right away. We'd want to look at the choke points, or we already know the choke points to the various parks. If we're going to close the parks or keep them open, but close them after a certain capacity would be reached, you need to monitor those choke points. Here you see an overview of Lakeside Park, and we would propose, you know, having a barricade at the entrance. It is a one-way. We'd still need to manage the other way to keep walkers from coming in. And then there's a perforation here near the Lakeside Lodge where traffic and people can go through there. Regarding Lakeside, they have a small dock. If you can see the cursor on the screen over here, which it belongs to them, we could create an access corridor for them to reach their dock without impacting the rest of the park. Don Morris, you have the main gate, of course, across the main entrance. Near the marina parking lot, there's an entrance here, which would need to be narrowed and controlled. And then there's a very narrow entrance at the ground level of the marina, gravel path and stairs here. That would be relatively easy to control. As Wade mentioned, staffing, we don't have the staff to do any of this right now. So therefore, we would need to develop capacity for manning the entrances. We'd need to recruit, hire, and train volunteers. Again, ideally, these would be bilingual Spanish-English speakers. And whether it's volunteers, staff, those would all need to be trained. If we hired a private security firm, there would be less training involved.
But Paul, let me break in just for a second.
Yes.
In conversation with a private security firm, they are primed up to come do an assessment on Thursday morning.
Right.
To let us know exactly, not exactly, pretty close to what we would need based on their experience. And they've got, as you can see on the contract, if you guys have got it, is they have a proposal for 6 people, 8 people, 10 people or so. Again, not cheap, but they're very highly trained and really enhance whatever plan we come up with.
Right. And they may have been assuming 8-hour days, and we probably, might want to look at 12-hour days.
They're primed to do 10 to 12 hour days.
Beautiful.
We just have to pay them accordingly.
Of course. So if we use staff for the gates, you'd need 6 people every 8 hours at Lakeside, probably 4 people every 8 hours at Don Morris Park. And then you'd probably need about the same number to patrol the park and enforce rules and distancing, that kind of thing. For communications, we've talked about getting these signboards, DOT style, These are something that will have utility beyond the pandemic. Public Works can certainly use them for other things. The mayor's talked about using something like this, even at City Hall, just to let people know what's going on. But these will, if we had two of these at each entrance to town or, you know, in front of the parks, that would eliminate a lot of conversations and people stopping and, you know, would facilitate traffic. You wouldn't have those conversations at the gate. Okay, the park's closed now. It's at capacity. You know, maybe go to BB Park or Chelan Falls Park on the message board. It just makes for an efficient flow of getting people through. We need, and again in communications, need additional signage at the parks in general, whether that's diverting people to other parks, reiterating the rules. There aren't a lot of rule signs in the park currently. A lot of those really need to be there in place so that people understand. We've produced some signs, you know, reiterating that tents with bottoms aren't allowed. That's a big thing. It kills the grass, so we want to take an approach of, you know, help us protect the grass and show which types of tents are allowed, which aren't allowed. That's beyond the pandemic, but it's something that's overdue. We need that type of signage in the park anyway. And other communications, Wade mentioned, we'll need to communicate through radio and Facebook, but also develop a script for staff that's interacting with the public. We want to have informed staff that can, you know, direct people. There might be belligerent people. But by and large, you know, what we're seeing at the parks are family groups. They're, you know, aside from 4th of July, when things get crazy, they're primarily good people just coming to enjoy the parks and get out of the house and find somewhere healthy. So by and large, people will follow the rules if they can. And if it's, you know, there's a few bad apples out there, but if we keep it open with a controlled status or close them down, we'll be prepared to carry out those orders.
And as far as the parking goes, Paul, you had that up there. Keep that parking piece back up there, please.
Yes.
It's at the end of your brief there.
All right.
So we've looked at, in fact, you've seen, hopefully, on your agenda bill, a proposal for increasing the parking rates up to a max of $20 instead of $15. And that's subject to your approval. And also increased parking fines up to $75. And so let me just cover that briefly, because it's going to, you know, this is part of a series of things that we're going to have to do as we move forward with this piece, and that is to pass an ordinance that puts changing the rates and the fees and the fines and putting those into a resolution instead of changing those by ordinance. And Quentin can address that later as far as the logistics of that, but that's the way forward of that. So it'll take, once we get to that point, it will take a couple of motions: one to change the ordinance, one to change those fees and rates. And unfortunately, the ordinance won't go into effect for 30 days after tonight, which won't help us for a good part of what's left in the summer. But it will get us into Labor Day for that, and give us a chance to put out enough communication so people are aware of it. So that's Paul's piece of that. Now, the other piece of this, and I'm sure you guys are wondering, is, you know, how does the sheriff's office fit into this as far as enforcement, as far as helping out? I'm going to let Chris talk about as far as his challenges with staffing and enforcement and how a security firm or our people would fit in to get people to comply with either a closure or closing the park after a certain capacity is reached, that sort of thing. So, Chris, if you could chime in at this point, please.
Sure. Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I, one, thank you for inviting me to be on this call with the City Council. And I commend you guys for trying to solve this problem, because it is very complicated, and I don't envy you guys. A few weeks, the majority of the illegal parking has occurred outside the city limits of Chelan. So regardless if you guys up the cost of parking near Lakeside in the city limits, it's the end of the day, the RCW fine is $30. So there's not much teeth to enforce outside the city limits as far as parking. I think it is worthwhile as part of the overall safety of people that are walking along that road is to reduce the speed limit to 35 versus 50. And I know that that has been brought up with DOT. You know, the reality for us coverage-wise is there's three deputies from NES and Manson. One of those, which is obviously dedicated to the city limits. And, you know, my own observations of this summer is just that, you know, Chelan's bursting at the seams, and, you know, we're being pulled in a lot of different directions for calls for service and what people want to see. People want to see us on the lake. People want to see us at the old bridge, you know, enforcing the jumpers. People want to see us writing parking tickets. And so, unfortunately, with three people in calls for service, we're just limited in, you know, what is realistic for the sheriff's office to handle. We're there to serve you guys, and we want to do what we can when we can. But, you know, in our priority, when people call 911, that's our first and foremost thing that we're going to is for emergencies. And then, you know, then it goes down the line from there. So, one, I just want to be realistic with what the sheriff's office current capabilities are. You know, we do have one Marine Patrol deputy on the water, you know, every day. If that deputy's on vacation, I'm backfilling that with two part-time guys to try to get them out together to make sure that we're still getting coverage. And then, you know, we're down bodies. The county's talking about a 10% cut for 2021 for the sheriff's office, which reading between the lines, we won't be hiring more deputies. We're gonna lose a couple positions. So, I'm here. I want to do what I can as your guys' representative from the sheriff, and I want to assist in whatever way we can to help solve this problem. Just wanted to share with you guys some of the realistic issues that we're facing with just the limited personnel that we have, you know, that are in that area to provide services.
Hey, thanks, Chris. So that's the challenges we're facing. A lot of staffing issues to execute any of these, but I think we've got a couple of solutions as far as hiring outside help and perhaps maybe hiring more, you know, in-house staff, but that's not the best option. So those are sort of our thoughts as a staff and some of the ways we can do that, some of the challenges we're going to face. Not insurmountable, but as with most solutions, it's going to take money to do it, to get it done. It's going to be not easy. And then whatever we do, we're going to have to determine the timeline, whether we execute all apart this weekend or try and put everything in place by next weekend. So those are the kind of things we're looking at. So at this point, I'd like to turn it over to the mayor for any comments and also lead the discussion from council.
Well, one thing I would do is I would like the council all to have the opportunity to say what they currently are observing from our residents and their own personal points of interest. You know, this hasn't been something that just popped up. We've been working with Paul because of the tents and a lot of other things going on Lakeside Park, the interactions with the PUD. These have all been going on. The county commissioners talked to us yesterday about the impact that it would have at Manson, and they're more willing to step up and help whatever. So this is kind of a county PUD, the whole scenario involved in this. I have started the conversation because of the impending doom, I guess it was, with Slidewaters being closed, and how important the governor thought that was, that the pandemic was creating a huge problem. And I wanted to get the opinion of the community and you all to what you're seeing. I'm not setting the water we got to close it. I think that there's options down the way to see how it works out. I think that I'm going to turn it over to you guys, and then I'll just kind of put my two cents worth in the end of what we've done and where we're at and how we got here. So I am looking at the board, and the nearest one is Tim, and then we'll just work down across the board as we go through the little process here.
Thanks, Mayor. I think the people I've talked to and you know, listening to a lot of the comments is that, you know, people are worried about COVID. I think there's a lot of problems in the parks because of the crowding. And it's really just a problem that's, like you said, it's been going on for a long time. And now it's come to a head. I have some real concerns about just closing the park, because I think they may be in a minority, but a lot of our local residents do use those parks, especially teenagers, younger folks, young families, and it would be, I think, unfortunate to close them. And then there's the blowback. I mean, we're fortunate to live on a very beautiful lake. People are going to come here. They're going to expect to try and get on the water. And if they can't go to the parks, they're going to be in Riverwalk Park, and they're going to be on private property. Now, I've talked to some of the community associations, and they're seeing people trying to sneak into their facilities. So I think it's our responsibility to try and get our arms around managing the parks better. So I think a lot of the stuff that's been discussed here is good. I'd like to really try to limit the entrance and be able to shut down the parks. I guess the question is, how soon can we do that? How soon is practical? Question for Wade is, how, you know, if we decided to move ahead with this Phoenix agency, would they be available this weekend? Do we have a plan in place where we could really deploy them effectively this weekend?
Yeah, I thought I said that. I guess I forgot to say they are available. I checked that first. And the plan, if you guys approve that piece of it, they'll be here Thursday morning to get the lay of the land and see, you know, confirm how many people we need. And then they'll be in place, you know, Friday night, Saturday morning, ready to rock and roll as needed.
Well,
yeah. So, you know, I noticed in your fee schedule that it looked like they were contemplating 7 days a week. I think, obviously, my impression is really it's a weekend issue, although things are still pretty busy during the week. But I would like to focus on the weekends at this point and see what we can do. Obviously, the parking issue is a big thing. And, you know, the highway is my biggest concern. And I don't think it's just necessarily simply a parking issue. It's creating a hazard. And I think, you know, from a law enforcement standpoint, there's a difference between illegally parking and actually obstructing traffic and causing a danger there. And so I think, I talked to Representative Steele earlier today, and I think we need to put some pressure on the state patrol and the DOT to do that, because that, to me, that's probably the biggest safety issue that we got going, even bigger than the COVID thing. So I guess, as a last resort, I would think about closing the parks, but I'd like to try some other options first.
Okay. Thank you. Savando?
Yes, Mayor, thank you. And I also had a chance to talk to, I would say, about 40 people in the community. Some of those were residents, some of those were visitors, and it's a mixed feeling. With the majority not in favor of closing the parks. And what I gather is that what they would like to see is a little bit more control, up and including reducing the capacity on the parks. And parking is a big ticket item for everybody's mind. and but they were not really in favor of closing the parks, and I tend to side with them. One of my biggest concerns is that if we close the parks, people are not going home. They're still around. They're going to be here, and they're going to go somewhere else. Probably not in the parks, but they're going to go to another parks, maybe Chiron Falls, Manson, and we're just going to pass the problem to somebody else. I'm not sure if closing the parks is the best solution, as opposed to maybe having more control in the crowd. And that also comes with a risk, and I'm glad that there is a firm that can step in and help us with that, because one of my other concerns is that if the city staff was going to enforce this reduction of capacity, then we're putting our staff at risk. And I'm not sure if that is the best thing to do.
Okay. Ray?
Thanks, Mayor. I did a walk about Masco, walked about the parks on 4th of July weekend. And Paul and I did a walk about in the parks this last Saturday, about 3:30 in the afternoon. And it was a total different crowd between the 4th of July and this last Saturday. 4th of July was what we did not want to see. It was kids all together, no precautions, no separation, and probably another 20% or 30% more during that 4th of July than there was this last Saturday. So there's a difference between what we saw as photographs on 4th of July weekend and what I saw happening in both of our parks this past weekend. On Friday, the state parks came out with a resolution that said we are no longer going to allow people who don't park in our parking lot to access our park at Lake Chelan State Park. They set a precedent that just said, we're not going to allow day use people to walk in. If you can't park here, we're going to limit the number of people in our park by making only those who can park in our parking space be able to access those. What I guess I'm saying is that the state park now has set a precedent. They have a solution that they put in place. It's a solution that makes a difference to me. It seems to make sense. We can follow their precedent and do the same at our parks. Limit the number of people who park, who would access the parks because of the size of our lots. At the same time, it also helps solve our parking issues. If people know that by parking outside down the highway, down Gibson Street, that they aren't going to be able to get into the park and that signage is going to be critical, that's going to solve two problems. It'll decrease the density of the park of people, and it'll help solve the parking problem as well. Question along the way, when our city patrol, we have parking enforcement, somebody drives around a little golf cart kind of thing and issue tickets and do those things. We're talking about raising those fees. Where does that money go? Does that go to a city coffer or does it go someplace else?
My understanding is it goes somewhere else, unfortunately.
District Court, so, I think, Greg.
Yeah.
Okay. Because my sense was that if we could raise those fees and use that as a generation source, it might help pay some of the security in order to enforce these things.
Maybe we can have negotiations with the court district and arrive at some kind of solution. If $25 covers their cost, then they need to take the extra beyond their cost. So it's something I think that we should negotiate with the district.
Good idea. Well, I want to, whether we decide to close or whether we decide to limit, security is going to be required in both situations. I want to thank Wade for anticipating that, jumping on board and coming up with some quotes for us to do that. I'm going to be strongly in favor of limiting access to our parks. I'm strongly opposed to closing our parks.
John?
Well, you know, I've been on a campaign here for about 5 or 6 years now, almost a lecture circuit, admonishing our local businesses for bringing more people here than we have the services and facilities to provide. And we have a really unique topography in Chelan, which doesn't allow us to move away from the lake much. We had the same circumstance on a little bit larger scale back in the late 1950s. We had a Apple Cup hydroplane race here for 4 years, 57 through 60. And it got so out of control, everybody made a lot of money for one weekend in a spring. And we spent the rest of the year recovering from it. And finally, after 4 years, they threw it out. They said, no, we're not going to do it anymore. Well, we're starting to approach those levels of density again. And I was taken aback a little bit by Aaron's comment from the Chamber of Commerce that they had so many new people, new visitors to SLAM coming. And I'm going to guess a large percentage of those are going to try and come back again. The four other council members who have already spoken, real good information. I agree with everything that's been said. I went out and talked to a couple dozen people, and I got the same split response from people, all the way from hell yes, close it, to hell no, don't close it. There's a real division in the community. I think that having more enforcement, all the way from lower level parking ticket writers to all the way up to the security system to the police force, are essential, because as Bob, you keep telling me when we have our discussions, that if you're going to pass regulations, you got to be able to enforce it. And I think also that maybe I'm just watching too much media, I don't know, but we seem to be entering into an era where a great deal of civil disobedience.
Yep.
I'm going to do what I want to do, and back with you. So I do think that we probably should not just continue on the same path. I saw what that can do many years ago. I also don't think that we should close everything down completely, because that punishes the locals and those who behave, along with those who don't behave. I think that's it.
Thank you. Okay. Aaron, you're next one on the list.
Thank you. I appreciate all of the folks from the Parks Department that have been on the phone with me or walked around the park with me or just brainstormed ideas. When I heard that there was the proposal to shut down the parks, I immediately panicked, because I go to the park every day during the week, and what I see there is local families enjoying the park, and we will take a entertaining ride our bike through the park on the weekends. And Ray completely hit the nail on the head. The pictures from 4th of July paint this picture of pure chaos, which it was. On the weekends post 4th of July, yes, it's crowded, but there is a little bit more, there's a lot of people there, but they're also spaced out along the beach. What I fear by shutting the parks down 100% is that being outside, number one, is what is being recommended for our health and safety right now. Social distancing, obviously, masks, but being able to get outside somewhere safe like our parks for a lot of people is a mental health issue. If we take our two largest parks away from people by completely shutting them down, not only are we impacting that, but we're also pushing them out to other parks that are not as big or don't have the capacity, and we're just kind of kicking the problem down the road. I think there's a lot of unintended consequences that would happen by shutting down both parks completely on the weekend. So I'm definitely opposed to closing down the parks 100%. I am much more in favor of figuring out a way to manage capacity. I think as a city, our job is to manage capacity. And at some point we need to let individuals, we shouldn't be expecting our park staff to be managing whether or not you're wearing a mask, whether you're social distancing. And I'm glad that Wade, thank you for getting that proposal from security. I think they're much more trained and capable for handling those types of things if that's what we need them to do. Regardless of the decision, which direction we're going, after talking to Paul and several other parks department folks, we need more staff in the park to manage capacity just in general this summer. You know, we set a budget for staff for certain expectations of how many people were going to be in the park over the summer, and we're seeing 3 to 4 times that number. So we don't have enough staff to even pick up garbage, or it's taking them a much longer time to pick up all of the garbage left over from the weekends. I highly doubt bathrooms are being maintained at the level that they need to be maintained. I don't think we have parking enforcement because we've had to pull them to somewhere else. So whichever direction we're going, another discussion needs to be, how do we increase our staff to maintain a level of service in our parks at some point? I had provided a couple different ideas. The circles actually came from Mike at the chamber, but after looking into it, there's several other larger cities that are doing this that give people a visual representation of what is 6 foot distancing. We've also done, way back when we first moved to Chelan, on Memorial Day, we used to have somebody sitting at the entrances into the park, and you would get a ticket. You were provided a ticket to go park your car, and you could only come back and leave if you had that ticket. It's a good opportunity, too, if we looked at something like that, if we had someone managing the entrance into the park. We have over 12,000 disposable masks at the chamber that we've gotten from, HGCA has gotten them, the chamber's gotten them from various organizations, but we have so many disposable masks that we could be handing out to people as they're coming into the park if they don't have them already. I am a little fearful if we try and jump on making a decision and implementing something by this weekend, only in that it's going to, I'm not entirely sure we can pull together. If we're going to restrict capacity at the park, it's easy to do that in our park, but we have to get all of the other parks and agencies in line as well. And how do we get the communication out so that there isn't thousands of people coming to the park and then they only find out right when they get there, because then they're going to go somewhere else and we're exacerbating a problem. So unless we can have all the ducks in a row by this weekend, I would prefer to see something that's rolled out properly as opposed to something that's rolled out half-baked, and then we're causing all of these other problems in other areas where we haven't been able to get things lined up yet. Let's see. I did a little bit of geeky GIS math and measuring, looking at any particular weekend so far this summer, we've had cars parked on Gibson Avenue up past Columbia, probably up to up almost halfway to the hospital. And I just measured from Highway 150 up to Columbia and the amount of cars that you can park there. And assuming there's about four people in every car, if we are not allowing those folks to park or come in into the park, that is about 600 to 700 people. And that's just to Columbia. So there's even more because they go up much higher than Columbia. But those are 600 to 700, let's even go up to 1,000 people that have nowhere else to go. So they're going to be somewhere else within our town and at another park. And we need to be thinking about, where are these people going, and are we just causing another problem in a different location? So that would be just one of my other requests, is that we're thinking through not only just limiting capacity at our park, but then how are we addressing the displacement of those people that normally go to the park? I'd rather see a full solution versus just our two parks, because I know it's going to bleed out into other areas. And then John, I just wanted to address really quick, my feeling is these people that are coming to town that have never been to Chelan before, advertising for Chelan was stopped back in April, I believe. And what it had sounded like when I had talked to these folks is that because they're not allowed to travel anywhere else, they look to see where else in Washington they can go. And, you know, Chelan's a three and a half hour drive. It was very eye opening though. I was very surprised that these people, so many people had never been to Chelan before. And, you know, I think this might we could be looking at something that could be a new normal. Because once you see Chelan, you've been to Chelan, Manson, it's beautiful. And this is the first time they're discovering. So something we should think about when we're planning, you know, 2021, 2022 down the road. To summarize, I would say I'm definitely not in favor of closing the parks, but I would definitely be in favor of a well thought out capacity plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Peter?
Thank you very much, Mayor. I've thought a lot about this for the last week or so, and maybe a little my fault that we got so many comments. I do think, as far as banning the comments or not allowing them to be read, maybe we could limit to three or something like that, because it sure helps the council listen to what the community is thinking. And I did hear some nice thing. I like the comment about the valet parking. I also like the idea of decreasing the speed limit in the city limits leading up to Lakeside from, you know, the 35 mile an hour into town. I like that. I spoke to the Sheriff Bartlett this morning regarding some of the issues about protection. And one of the issues that we discussed at length was the fact that at some point in the recent past, the penalty for drinking in our parks, which are against the rules, was changed from a criminal offense to a civil offense, which basically made it and tied their hands so they couldn't remove people. They had to ask them to leave. And then if they came back, then they could arrest them for trespassing, as compared to going in and saying, there's no drinking in our parks. And, you know, you're in violation of that. And I think there's other places people can go to, you know, imbibe that sort of thing. And he mentioned that it was a situation where our parks stopped being a safe place for families to go. People, you know, the people in public comments had talked about vomiting and urinating, and then we've had other issues with fighting. And I did talk to Tom Gormley, who's a friend of mine, about, you know, just obnoxious behavior by people coming into his pool and stuff like that, and him having to hire security to deal with these people. And I think if we just switch that back so that the sheriff had the ability to ask people to leave or arrest them, and then made it so that, you know, in the case of controlling the entry to the park, we have to limit that, and I'm in support of that, that if people are in the park with alcohol, that we could ask them to leave, and they can go find someplace else to do that. And if they, you know, react or fight with the security, which I very much like that idea, that you know, we could call the sheriff in, and I talked to the Sheriff Bartlett about the amount of manpower. I do think we need both security and more police protection, whatever we can do. And I think that switching back that ordinance back to a criminal offense for alcohol would be something reasonable that would help discourage, you know, Sheriff Bartlett had mentioned MIP use, minor in possession, you know, where they come and they just get drunk all day and be obnoxious. I think that would help discourage a lot of the people. Another thought I had too was, is when does the weekend begin? And I believe it probably begins on Friday night. And then it, you know, continues on, and then kind of towards the end of Sunday, it kind of ends kind of in the afternoon as people have to head back over the mountain or whatever, so that the security would be, you know, 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, we would start manning up so that we could keep control of the parks. I really appreciated all of the public comments, and I encourage people to do that. I appreciate the thoughtfulness of staff. Wade Ferris and Paul, we've discussed this at length. And I also believe there are mitigations that we can do to keep the parks open and limiting the number of people. And so that you know, maybe we could do wristbands, you know, for people to come in. You get a wristband when you come in. Also, if you present identification for you or your family and you are a resident of the city of Chelan, you're allowed into the park, because that's one of the things we need to make sure that we're not, you know, keeping the residents out of their parks. And I think that comment was well taken there. So thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you. Ty, you're the last one on the list again.
All right, thank you. I'm sorry, I was unmuted, but it's just, anyway. I'm going to keep my comments short and to the point, just because I really support everything that has been said tonight. But I do have one question, I guess, is what is our legal, so Quentin, for you, ability to charge for access for out of town visitors to the parks? I know there's some implementation costs that would be, but is there any kind of ordinance, or was the park donated to the city with the intention of free usage in perpetuity? Or can we set up a fee for entry for guests and visitors, and the exception would be locals can use the parks for free? I also think parking needs to be, we need to generate funds to support the parks. I believe that health and safety are the biggest concerns for us, and we as city council do need to get control of the parks despite the COVID issues. I think the danger out on the highways and riding bikes and walking, do we really need somebody to die again before we take this seriously? I mentioned it 2 weeks ago that we need to deter people from parking there, whether it's have a tow truck out there or write tickets, hire ticket writers, so that we don't have to have our sheriff taking their time when they're busy taking care of 911 calls. I think that's what they should be doing, but we really need to still enforce the parking regulations and have our visitors pay for it when they break the rules, pay for using the parks. If we need to hire people like Phoenix Security, I'm all for that, but why can't the people using the park fund that? So let's figure out a way to control the usage of the parks. I too am in favor of not closing the park completely, but I would like to see complete control. You know, whether it's gates, whether it's tickets to get in, whether it's wristbands and locals can use it whenever they, you know, that kind of thing. I really think we need to act quickly and get it done. Now, the security is probably going to be this year. Maybe the tickets can happen for next year. Let's keep this on the itinerary until we get it fixed and figure out a plan as soon as we can for this. Like Aaron says, half-baked this year, but then ready to go with a full-up plan for next year. Thanks, Mayor.
Thank you. Quentin, I hear that if we accept funds from Conservation Recreation Office that we cannot charge to admission to the park. Does that have a sunset, or are we just, does somebody review that? I've tried and they won't let me in at home on my computer. It has to be here.
Well, it depends. I mean, is Don Morse or, I mean, Lakeside, I know we received funds from RCO. What about Don Morse?
We took $1 million on our rehab and come up with 1.75 match money the last time we did the beaches and some of the marina. I'm interested.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, the short answer to your question is I don't know. I'd have to look at the RCO grant documents. A lot of times those come with strings attached. As a general matter, excluding the RCO from the discussion for a moment, cities can charge locals anything at all and charge out-of-town visitors more. That's gonna cause a enforcement issue, but you can legally have like a two-tier system, one for locals, one for out-of-towners. But that depends on what's going on with the RCO documents. I'd have to look at those to see what exactly we could or could not do.
If we're stopping and charging to get in there, that'd be an excellent time to check the coolers, because I think the drinking problem is far in excess, and if we can get a handle on that back to where it's a criminal penalty and get liquor control over here, do a walkabout, they're very, very effective. In the days that I did that, it was a $750 fine to have a can of beer in you or whatever on the avenue.
and that stopped that portion of it in about 2 years. So, Paul, you've been jumping up and down. Have you researched the CRO stuff?
Well, another issue is once you start charging, you lose your recreational immunity, and that protects us. Quentin, you can elaborate on this. Mm-hmm. This protects you from lawsuits in a huge way. And I know that Chelan has faced several pretty massive lawsuits in the past, and that would open us up to that in a major way.
That's right. That's a good point. Recreational immunity allows, as long as the city's or any private landowner is keeping the land open for recreational use of the public, it gives the landowner some immunity. But to gate it, meter it, charge for it, whatever, would affect that immunity.
Well, then maybe we ought to figure out what the insurance bill for WCAA is and see if it balances out, really. We should charge, pay our insurance, or just look the other way.
Yeah,
anyway.
We can test base with WCAA tomorrow, the next day, and see exactly what impact that would have. The other piece, to your point, Councilman Whip, is raising funds. That if you look in the one thing that I'm asking you guys to approve is raising the parking rates. Now, I proposed, you know, a $5 raise on each tier, but that's still well below Seattle rates. Like the all-day rate's still only $20. If you want to raise it to $25 for all day, it's supply and demand. And that would help pay for some security in some respect, not a lot, but it would help. So that's something to, as you guys consider that motion, you may want to revise it to 10, 50, or whatever it is now. You don't have a refinery up to the max of 25. Would help some, and that could go into effect again in 30 days or next year. So that's something to consider.
Let's see if I can incite somebody. We have 3% money that's designated to bring people to Chelan. Can we use 3% money to tell them not to come to Chelan? And they say, oh, come on now, that's a realistic attitude. That's what it's for. I think that right now we got, what, $700,000? I knew I was going to get Aaron up and running.
I think you have a lot of downtown businesses extremely upset with that.
I'm wondering, Mayor, would it be possible to use some of that 3% money to pay for security at our parks?
Well, I think it all relates to advertising or whatever. It generates from a bed tax.
There's also CARES funding that we've received that's available.
Well, that's not going to go very far at $127,000, and we're putting UV filters in three big buildings at about $20,000 a piece. Anyway, that money, the 2% money, is also from additional sales tax. If we're looking for funding, we need to open the door. And if it upsets people, then we still need to open the door. It's still revenue generated from people that come to Chelan.
Well, is today's discussion about looking for funding, or is it for direction on whether to close or the direction on the parks? Because I think funding comes after what we decide we need to go towards.
I'm not trying to say it. I just wanted to make it aware that there was funding coming.
Well, I just don't want to spiral into a long conversation.
No. We're going to try to decide when and what that we're going to do in the pretty immediate future. And I think it looks from the cross here that is probably partial closure, probably what I've listened to, probably not going to get enough information out here in the next 4 days. I think that we need to talk to the chamber and use some of their, if they would be so generous, use some of their media ads in Seattle to make a presentation that we're having a slight problem in May this year. The other thing is we checked with the Spanish radio stations and the radio station Wenatchee to get a more local media out there. I think that a lot of these people that use our day use parks come from within a 50-mile radius or locally. I don't think a lot of people get up in the morning from Bellevue and charge over here and get here at 11 and stay till 2 and then go home. So not having the numbers, and we do have access to the parking and see where those cars do come from, so that's something else we need to look at for Lakeside. Anyway, let's keep talking.
Yeah, so as we move forward here, there's several things in this conglomeration here you all need to decide on, and or we need to get direction on, and then there's actually one big thing to get direction on, and then there's a couple of motions you have to consider And then there's also the question of the alcohol. That just came up today in discussions with the sheriff's office as far as making alcohol in the parks a criminal offense. Going back to that, and that's something we can propose for the we can't do it tonight, but we can, I don't believe so, unless Quentin says otherwise. And then, so those are the things you got to consider, those basically four things. So we need direction from council, and moving forward, we've got, and also the, you know, what day that sounds like you all want to work on this and get a more fleshed out plan in place. We're pretty close, but a more fleshed out plan, a good comm plan, communications plan, so we can implement this. And I'll propose is to implement it possibly next Thursday or Friday to get everything in place and move forward from there. So, Mayor, I'll turn it back over to you.
Well, I think that's what we probably need to do is, do you believe that we can get our staffing in, the pamphlets made out, the handouts, the barricades, or is it a situation where you wait one more week and we're going to take heat because we didn't jump on this right away? I'd rather have it done right than create a great chaos. If we can give one more week of blasting it somewhere else, that, you know, it is critical here and we don't have a lot of area, and we have to have social distancing. I mean, the biggest thing to me right now is social distancing. And if you all went to Lakeside Park, there's a huge amount of park, but everybody's right down next to the water, wall to wall, tents, shelters, the whole thing. So I think if you drive those circles, somebody's going to have to walk out and say, you all need to be in those circles. It all sounds good, but the implementation and enforcement is something we need to look at and figure out how we can do it and do it well.
Well, now we can get the security folks in place perhaps this weekend to help us with some enforcement of some of the park rules, like alcohol perhaps, is, you know, and maybe the bridge or some other things, and get them lay the land. But otherwise, we put them in place sometime later next week.
I think the bridge is, go ahead. The bridge is an attractive nuisance. That's been a rite of passage forever. And it is unfortunate somebody's going to get hurt, but the station, an officer or somebody like that down there, we need to perhaps look at some of the people here, if they like to volunteer to kind of just do some of this generalization stuff, if they have a background and feel that they can assist us in some of these minor violations like jumping off the bridge, some kind of a citizens corps or something. I don't know, it works elsewhere. I don't know how well it'd work here.
Bob, we had a family discussion just this last weekend with some kids around, and they were asking, is there a way that they could, not grandkids, I'm talking about my kids who are in their late 30s and 40s, they would be willing to be part of that volunteer force. You know, no badges, no guns, just a kindly reminder, by the way, we don't do that here.
Yeah, the mayor of Cooley City was a fairly wise person, and he had a whole crew that took over Cooley City and rebuilt their parks and everything. And I asked him what it cost him. He goes, T-shirt. Just acknowledgement, you're doing a good job. You're part of the core, helping the community.
And Ty Witt, you're still on. Rotary has a pretty aggressive community service group. Is there a way that could tie into this process anywhere?
Yes, in a way, but nobody wants to be the policeman. No, they don't want to be involved in confrontation. I mean, we like building and helping and intervening, but not confronting. That's the census that I got from the group.
Yeah, my family's not going to confront either. I agree with that. We need to find a way to look. Maybe it's a brochure that we hand or a piece of paper that we hand them, quick and easy.
I think if you're just standing there, somewhat of a turn in itself.
Me? No.
No, your people. Somebody in nature. Ray, I'm not going to have you out there. You scare me too much.
Nobody's afraid of Ray.
Hey, this is Peter, you know, and you brought up something about bringing in some of the volunteer organizations. One of the things we do, like on Winterfest, is we have a beer garden or a wine tasting garden. And maybe in the parks, we could get one of the volunteer organizations to generate some revenue to maybe defray some of the cost of the security, give some money to, nonprofits and things like that, where we kind of turned our parks into an event and then allow people to come. And of course, then we're checking ID and we're other types of things like that.
similar to Winterfest. And I think that that might be able to generate some revenue to cut some of the costs. And I think there's a lot of volunteer organizations, like what Ty said, that they're willing to do to help, you know, kind of bring some sanity to this situation. I didn't mention that earlier. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
One other thing that came up is last Monday, I called Ryan Baker from Chelan County PUD Parks, and we discussed BD Park and Chelan Falls Park, both of which are nearly, Chelan Falls is a huge park that has hardly anybody in it. It has all the assets you can believe, except it's not on the Lake Chelan. And to do social distancing down there, you could probably take everybody out of Don Morrison Park, come down here and still not hit the social distancing. So he was not objective to sending that direction, making a point that there is other parks in the area. If you just have a nice family gathering, a barbecue of whatever, just as long as we pass on the message, it is social distancing or mask required. So they're not opposed to it. It would almost be an upside to get that park used rather than just set there year after year after year.
Yeah, I think that would be certainly part of what we want to do in publicity. If we start limiting stuff, is to just have things we could hand people with directions to BB Springs and, Chelan Falls parks.
I've got a nice brochure made up.
Yeah. So
yeah,
make sure that that we're ready to do that. I like the idea of the traffic control signs. If that's something we could use year round, maybe we could get some surplus ones cheap from DOT. I don't know. The parking, I would support triple fines for parking. We want to be careful, though. I would like to discriminate between, illegal parking in the neighborhood and illegal parking on the highways, and then, illegal parking. I think probably our businesses are going to object if people that park for 4 hours downtown all of a sudden get a $75 parking ticket. So we want to be cognizant of the language of that parking ordinance.
Yeah. Tim, let me break in just for a second. Yes, and that's a consideration. I forgot to say that if you look in the RCW, I can't remember which paragraph is 10 points. I had Quentin add that to it, that would be still at the $25 level. Is that, then it says, pretty specifies in our code that downtown area. So yes, that would be exempt from the $75 fine. It would still be a $25 fine.
Mm-hmm. So, and I don't know if it's, even if, if we barricade the streets and then we just make note that we're doing parking enforcement, it's hard to tell local residents from people that are parked illegally. But if we have somebody in a green parking enforcement shirt patrolling some of these neighborhoods, I suspect that would be a deterrent. And it may be money well spent if we have the resources to do that.
Well, I have a classic 76 Chevy Wrecker that isn't logoed on anything. So I put City of Chelan Parking Enforcement and drive around for a while. That was Ty Witt's suggestion, not mine, by the way.
It doesn't sound like it could hurt.
And dressed in your camo, Mayor.
Yeah, I've been shot at before.
Yeah.
So just a quick question. Are we making a motion on anything, or is there something that we need to be making a decision on?
I think a consensus.
Thanks, Mayor. Yeah, what I'm looking for is a consensus on two things. One is, and I think I've already got it, for the close of parks, which it sounds like it's almost universal. Nobody wants to do that. So I think we have a consensus on doing the controlled numbers for the park. I think all of you, in fact, you guys could go through and give a thumbs up if you like on that. I'm sorry, Ray.
Follow the state park. The state park.
Something very similar.
Follow the state guidelines. Thank you. Yeah, follow the state guidelines. when the parking lot's full, then we then we're full, the parks are full. And it sounds like you guys are pretty much on board with that, I think. And the other piece is when to implement, whether to try and start to go forward this weekend or just get everything in place next weekend. And just as a note, somebody said about, you know, are we going to take heat from the public? It's just my opinion only that if we put out that we have a, you all have worked out a plan that's going to be implemented on this date, and we're going to have to put up with it this weekend with, you know, the stuff we've been doing, I think that'll help assuage the public a little bit. So if we want to start next weekend, that's probably a better idea. We'll probably get a more complete, fleshed out plan and look at all the different pros and cons and different nuances that we need to look at. So I would ask, first of all, for a thumbs up with a thumbs down to go with the capacity limiting for the park. So if you want to limit capacity, just give me a thumbs up. And because I can't see your thumbs up. The same thing with Ty, I hear something from you. Okay, so it sounds like we're looking to do that.
Wade, just one comment on, you know, limiting it to, you know, once the parking capacity's full, you know, the question comes into my mind, you know, you've got, you know, the local teenagers that want to ride their bike into the park. I mean, is that just collateral damage? Do we just turn them away? That's something we're not going to solve it tonight.
Also the RV park. They aren't going to be parking their cars in the parking lot.
Yeah, so we're just, you know, I mean, there's details we need to think through. We want to make sure that to the extent we can feasibly do it, you know, we continue to plot, you know, let local people that are residents into the park. It may not be possible to have unfettered access if we're going to reduce numbers, but if we could kind of give that some thought, that would be important.
Okay, that's a very good point, Tim, as far as local access by foot or by bike, and how do we prove they're locals? You know, do they come to the park office first and show some kind of ID and get some kind of wristband? Same thing with over Lakeside with the folks that are in the Lakeside Lodge there. We need to look at that as well. But since we have direction from you all on the way forward, we can look at those details.
Yeah, the Lakeside Lodge has their own area down there. I think we just make that pathway that Paul's put out, and they can walk down and use their pathway in their dock. I don't think they should be any better off than somebody that lives out there. They're still a guest. I think they can use the guest facilities that they have there already purchased.
Okay, and then Aaron, I'm sorry, you had another point too that you were concerned with. Okay, so
this is Peter. I just want to make a comment about the Lakeside Lodge and the building next to it, the other Lakeside vacation rental building. Part of the value of those buildings is the access to the park, and it's similar to the RV park, where like the state parks are saying that, you know, overnight parking has access, the overnight people have access to the facilities, and that's a little different than somebody just coming there and squatting all day long and stuff like that. And I know that Lakeside Lodge has the dock, but the building next door does not. And also, I think that, you know, having access to the community and the people that are spending the night and spending money here and investing in our business, maybe we do have kind of an obligation to make sure that their vacation is a good one. And they aren't parking in our parking lot. And so I've just a couple thoughts out loud. Whatever you guys decide, I'm going to support. I think we're on the right track. I do think that we need to move quickly. If we could get some of the security this week, I think that even though it's not completely hashed out, it would at least show to the community that we are doing something now. And I think that that's, you know, based on the number of comments today, people want us to do something, and I think we can do that. So that's my two cents.
Yeah, we want to make one comment.
Philando?
Yes, if we're moving this direction of limiting the capacity of the parks, we go ahead and implement it. Is there a way that we can get in a status on how successful this initiative is? Should we have to rethink things again? How would it go? How do we go about it as far as getting an update after implementation?
Paul? Aaron, you got your light on.
No, I just know that I missed a question from Wade, and I had just ran to the bathroom.
No, I think that your other issue was the RV park, and so I'll get to you just in a second.
Okay.
And so the RV park piece, Paul and I talked about that a bit. If we were closing the park, we had a plan for that. If we limit capacity, they will have access since they are, you know, there. And so they'll have access to the park, the RVers were. We'll have to figure out exactly how to do that, whether it's wristbands or something else.
Okay, great.
The same thing to your question, Peter, as far as the Lakeside Lodge and the other building there. We may look at that piece. So what we'll... I'll get a consensus from you all as far as we get some of these other nuances in place on that. And Savando, would you repeat your question again as far, did you want to see how we measured our success? Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, exactly. And how do we go about getting an update on how successful this is? Can we get that by email or I'm not sure how, but I would like to see or know how things are going.
And we'll keep an eye on it. One measure of and the people in the park is how much trash is generated. I was told that last weekend there was almost as much trash in one of the parks as there is on a normal 4th of July. So, yeah, that's we could have some indicators on that.
90 cubic yards compacted. That's a huge amount. Well, I have a question, and it's kind of where the guidelines go. So the projection is we're probably going to do this a week from Saturday. I would like Aaron and Mike Steele's assistance in figuring out how we can notify the people on the wet side, and then we can go ahead and do the Wenatchee radio stations as well as other media sources out to us. So the sooner we can get out on that thing, I think is a thing to do. KPQ's been after me for a couple of days to give a statement. I think I have a better idea of where we're going now. So if that's possible, the Chamber and HDCA, I would think, have the better media contacts on the other side to assist us in saying.
Definitely pull together the message of what we want to get out to the public and make sure that it is spread far and wide. I'd also love to volunteer to help with what's the signage that we are putting inside our park to encourage social distancing, masks. I know Paul had some good graphics on there, but there's a lot more signage that we could probably do throughout the park in additional spots to make sure people are paying attention to what they should be doing when they're in the park.
I think you probably work together very well.
Yep.
And so the other thing I'd like some direction on, so is council okay with me moving forward with a contract with the security firm and possibly getting four of those folks on board this weekend to maybe help remind folks about social distancing, alcohol, and those sort of things so we can move forward with that piece and maybe get a sense of how many officers we need. Is that something the council's okay with?
I'm okay with that. This is Peter. I'm okay with it. I had a couple of comments on that. One, I looked through their brochure some, and I think, I don't think we need firearms. I don't think we need armed guards. If it gets to that level, we need to call the sheriff. I think they need to have a casual appearance. I think there's different uniforms that you can request, and I think we want to keep our parks casual and welcoming, and I would like that
And then obviously the bilingual component would be really important. But yes, I support that going forward.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. We'd already talked about the armed piece, and we agreed, Mayor and I talked about it, definitely unarmed. I like the, you know, you saw in the brochure they had some uniform options, and so that if we were going to go with the more casual, we were thinking maybe more uniform once, if we close the park, because we had some outrage people, and so we can go with the casual piece and definitely the unarmed piece, so thanks. Question? Bob, question?
Sure, what's up?
Are we planning to have a workshop next week?
I'm not sure where we're at with that scenario. Paul shakes his head yes.
At this point, we are. And that will be a presentation by the guy who did the golf course assessment.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we could just do a brief update on progress at our workshop next week, and then the city council meets the following week. Maybe we can get a response on effectiveness as Servando has requested.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be the plan moving forward, is use that opportunity on next Tuesday for a fleshed-out plan that's going to go into effect that Saturday. So, yes.
Well, I think one of the things important is what Aaron was saying. This message needs to be about COVID-19 and social distancing, not about we're too full, stay the hell out of here. I think it needs to be focused on original intent, and that's social distancing.
However, I would echo that the highway's been dangerous before COVID, and the highway still needs to be controlled and monitored, and nobody should be parking on the highway. Our cones last weekend were an anemic effort. I appreciate the crew getting out there and doing it, but we basically put cones in front of the houses, and then it stopped well before city limits, and that's where people started parking. It was almost like, hey, don't park here, but it's okay to park here, and then they parked from there on out. And
I think we're out of cones. The other thing is the no parking signs on the south side of 97A are parallel to the road. And if you aren't looking for them, you don't see them. They need to be altered, put perpendicular to the driver so they can. It's in their face. Maybe we can start out with a big sign board out at the very starting of that whole project. There's no parking. Say, no parking, $75 parking fine, $500 minimum charge for towing. If it's a member shaking off numbers, we don't have a towing agency. They got to go to any ad, and it's well over $500.
I guess I would also ask Chris if we could get, you know, the Highway Patrol contact, and then also let them know that we may be putting some political pressure through our representatives to have them enforce the parking, because we've got numerous complaints and we need some help. So I don't know if you've got a person to talk to, Chris. Maybe he and I could talk tomorrow or something like that.
Yeah, that's not a problem. It's a lieutenant that I talked to out of District 6, which is the Wenatchee office, and made him aware of the situation. And I will definitely be able to give you his information. And you guys, you know, I made the request last weekend, but again, I think hearing it from you guys, yeah, and it being that they're the primary jurisdiction, would be good to get them out there as well.
And Chris, you reported to us last city council. I had mentioned I had ridden my bike back there by there a couple of times, and I didn't see any tickets on any cars. And you had corrected me to say no, we had written 8 tickets that day on that Saturday. I'm wondering if we could get a report also on the number of tickets that get written out there. Sure. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, thank that's you. No problem. You got it.
We've recovered everything. Liquor in the park.
As far as just getting the sense of the council, I've got everything there. The only other thing was, I think council is okay with this too, is we need to get working on changing the ordinance for the alcohol from a civil penalty to a criminal penalty. I think council is on board with that. If anybody's not on board, please speak up.
I guess one question on that would be why was it changed in the first place?
We're trying to research that, Tim, to figure that out. And so before we, you know, move forward with it, you guys vote, we'll get the history on that as well.
Makes sense to me.
Must have been a reason, because it happened when I was there. It was 2014, so I don't remember what it was. But unless it was more difficult to enforce it and we felt that that would deter it, and it obviously has not. So,
if I remember correctly, it was because the amount of paperwork and time to write up those tickets and go to court didn't justify what we were getting back in the end. But that was back in the day.
Well, I think that was true because when I was working with liquor control, they would come in on the weekends, and then somebody locally had to be there to follow testimony up. So that might be the situation that it was in 2014.
And if I could just speak on the alcohol part and Don Morris, I know the sheriff's a fan of us having it being criminal. I also being there, I think painting the picture to you guys of, you know, if we contact a family and they're in the park and dad or mom is having a drink or a beer, that's a different situation. That's not a situation where we're taking a criminal, you know, offense. It's the 20 somethings that are drunk and being loud and, you know, starting fights. It gives us some teeth to actually remove them and get them out of there versus here's your infraction, and then we're going to constantly have to come back here. So it gives us that discretion where there are those certain people that we come in contact with that need to go before things get worse, and it just gives us that teeth to do that in those type of situations.
Agreed. Are we ready? When we first came to town, that Jack Doty was a local attorney, and I remember him holding court down every year in Chelan every weekend, and took Visa and MasterCard, and maybe the fact that we no longer have a court in Chelan may have been part of that decision.
Anything else on our plate?
Oh, that, okay. We'll research that piece, but with that, we just need to move forward on the motion on the ordinance and then on the resolution. Again, a reminder on the resolution, if you guys want to modify that to increase the parking fees, then you can do that as an amendment. Feel free, or we can, it's a resolution. It'll be easy enough to change moving forward after the summer. So, Mayor, back to you.
I'm not exactly sure where we're at right now. So we have decided it's a weekend from this next one. We're going to hire security. We're going to publicize the reduction in the amount of people allowed in our parks, as everybody else has. And we're working on rechanging liquor to a criminal, back to a criminal offense. That it covered about everything.
And the raising of the parking rates.
Do we need a motion to approve the security funding?
No, I would appreciate that. I can do it through this emergency thing, but I would appreciate if you guys did.
Let's yield to Quentin on that.
We also need a motion on the E. We still need a motion for that.
Yeah, you guys need a motion first on the ordinance, then on the fee resolution. So Quentin, could you chime in, please?
Yeah, sure. So with respect to item E on the agenda, there's two motions. One motion is to amend the ordinance. The ordinance had the penalty for a parking violation to be $25. It's probably a better practice to have the precise amounts for violations in a rate resolution as opposed to in the Chelan Municipal Code. So the first motion on item E is revising that code to remove the reference to the amount of the parking violation. And instead, as you can see in the agenda bill, that it just says in an amount as set forth in the rate resolution. That amendment, that motion, takes 30 days to go into effect. So we're getting towards the end of the summer by the time that that's going to go into effect. But until then, it will remain $25. The rate resolution motion on item E changes the amounts of the parking violation and accepts out portions of the downtown zone that have been set forth in CMC 1036-405, which is those portions of the downtown where we wanted to be a little more lenient as far as parking is concerned. So that's that issue. With respect to the security issue, it can be done through the mayor's emergency powers. We can also do it through council. The council can essentially declare an emergency, assuming that we believe that an emergency exists, and I believe it does in this particular instance. I lost my definition of what an emergency is here, but suffice it to say, I think it applies in this particular situation because we are dealing with an emergency that we're trying to get a handle on before the end of the summer, and that there could be risk to health, life, safety, if not done before that. So the only thing that we would have to do for that is within 2 weeks, come back with findings of fact, describing the nature of the emergency. And then we could enter into the contract with the security firm, Phoenix. So those are the two things. I think the first thing we ought to do, though, is handle item E on the agenda.
Mayor, I would move to approve amending the current ordinance, which allows council to adopt new parking fees and violation penalties by resolution.
This is Ray. I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And then I would move to adopt the amended rate and fee resolution raising parking fees for city parks and fines for certain parking violations.
This is Peter. I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So moved. All righty. We have reached that point. So I think we have this sorted out. We will have a better feel when Wade gets it all sorted out tomorrow, and we'll get some email out to you to see where we're at, and then we'll look into all the identification points for the media.